The following is a paid program, and the views expressed are those of the hosts and guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPTF or Curtis Media Group. Information provided is of a general nature. Listeners seeking specific advice should contact a licensed professional in the appropriate area. Welcome to Heart Health Radio with board-certified cardiologist and internal medicine specialist, Dr. Franklin Weefall.
Heart Health Radio, Heart Health Radio, oh, 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 hearthealthradio.com, Heart Health Radio.
Heart Health Radio is meant for information purposes only. Before taking any action, talk to your doctor.
This is Heart Health Radio, 2 hours of talking about health. I don't know what we're going to talk about today.
Well, yeah,
honestly, I have no idea.
It just flows out of us. I mean, you know, if people ask me, you know, you must spend hours and hours preparing for your show. I'm not going to tell you how much time that we really spend, but it's enough.
We think the topic has been written for today's show, but we're going to start on that topic and then move on to so many other things.
Absolutely.
Telephone number is 919-860-9783. If you have a comment or a question, either about COVID or about any other issue, especially related to your own health, go ahead and call that number, 919-860-9783. So we're in an era where the question is, the ultimate question is, are we at greater risk than we were 3 weeks ago because of this Delta variant?
It's very disturbing that what we're heading into, yes, is another peak of a different strain than what we've been seeing. And we're going to have a lot more infections. There's just no doubt about it. This is a very contagious virus, and it is so contagious that it's right up there with a lot of other common diseases. It's more contagious than chickenpox.
Mm-hmm.
And did you have chickenpox when you were a kid?
I don't know.
Let me tell
There's
you what.
Nobody around to ask.
Back when I was a kid,
yeah,
when one person in the neighborhood got chickenpox, you know what the families did?
I know.
They had a chicken pox party.
Absolutely.
So they got all the kids together, and you know, these were 3- and 4-year-olds, and we all got the chicken pox. Why? It's much better to get it when you're younger. Now, you don't want to get it when you're 26. I mean, that's terrible.
Is it?
Yeah, we had an intern in our group at Johns Hopkins who got it, and he was sick as all get out. But what I'm now they have a vaccine against chickenpox. Make sure your kids get it because chickenpox is not fun, but it's a lot less dangerous when you're a kid. So this is a very contagious variant. Now, you may wonder why the FDA is freaking out and why Rachel Lewalinsky is freaking out. There was a big get-together in P-Town, Provincetown.
Yes.
You ever been?
Yeah, actually.
It's really nice. It's right there on the tip of Cape Cod, and it's beautiful. I went fishing there. I used to go fishing there a lot. Bluefish.
Yeah.
They run in early June, best off the shore. And everything. Anyway, so they had a party, a bunch of parties. Many of these people were vaccinated, and it was just amazing. A bunch of people got it, even though they were vaccinated. And they went up and did some testing, and it turned out that the volume of viral particles coming out the schnoz in vaccinated people was just as high as the volume coming out of unvaccinated people. So they hit the panic button.
Yeah.
And said, you must wear a mask now so your schnoz doesn't, you know, expel tons of this virus. Now, here's the thing that I don't think they're telling you is that it is contagious. But the people who are getting sick are interestingly not getting as sick as they were a year and a half ago. Your hospitalizations are rising a bit, but they're not rising nearly as fast as the case numbers. And what they're not telling you is that if you look back at India, you remember just a month and a half ago, it was just terrible.
Right.
They were showing videos of, you know, the mass graves and the funeral pyres by the Ganges.
Yeah.
The amazing thing is they were burning some bodies you know, 30 feet down, somebody was washing in the same river.
Yeah, bad.
So you talk about the dangers of getting infected. India can't be any worse than any other place in the world. The cases have just plummeted. And you can't say that it's from vaccination because the vaccination rates haven't increased that much. You can't say that it's because everybody's wearing a mask. They're not. I mean, have you seen the latest videos of India? They're still burning the dead people right by the Ganges, and
yeah,
30 feet down, someone's washing, and then, you know, 30 feet down, someone's fishing.
Yeah.
The cases have gone from 400,000 a day in, what's the date of that? Beginning of May, okay? Now they're 40,000. And there was an article coming out right after the FDA and Rachel Walensky said everyone's got to remask up because of Provincetown, you know, the viral particles are spreading everywhere.
Yeah.
There's a great article that says, cases in India, highest than they've been in 3 weeks. Okay, 44,000 cases. That's a lot of cases.
Sure.
But there's 1.5 billion people. So what were the number of cases 3 weeks ago? Now, again, we said the beginning of May was 400,000 cases a day.
Okay.
So now it's 44,000 this week. What was it 3 weeks ago? 43,000. So I don't know what's happening with the data that is coming out, but it doesn't reflect reality.
But more than out of a population of more than a billion, an extra 1,000 people getting sick is not what you'd call a spike?
No.
No, it's not much?
Then the other thing that I want to tell you is that the death rate in India has plummeted.
Mm-hmm.
And again, don't get me wrong, any death is a bad death.
Right, right.
Any case is potentially a bad case. But what I can't understand is why we aren't being told the truth. And the truth is, yes, this is a highly contagious variant. But we have treatments, and we have, yes, a higher number of hospitalizations, but it's nowhere near what it was like before with a more contagious virus. And if you look at the deaths in North Carolina and in other parts of the country, they are not going up. And you expect the deaths about 2 week lag from the beginning of another surge in positive cases. It's just not happening. So what does this mean? It doesn't mean I'm telling you not to be careful. It doesn't mean that I'm saying la-di-da about the Delta.
Right.
I'm saying that the country and the world need to go on. Mm. We can't shut down again. Did you know they're going to make four-year-olds, starting in the beginning of August, wear masks in kindergarten? They're going to the teachers' unions are already screaming that we're going to go back to online learning. And, you know, 7,500 people in the United States of America die every day. Now, are those deaths something that we can just say, oh, la-di-da is my favorite word today.
Okay.
No, but we have to just take it and say, this is terrible.
Yeah.
It never should have leaked out of the Wuhan lab to begin with.
Mm.
But Delta comes and goes. And if we're going to believe that, I want to say, I believe science. Well, go look at the numbers.
Right.
And tell me why Delta went away in England and also in the UK. I mean, the UK is the most vaccinated or one of the most vaccinated countries in the world.
Right.
And they had a huge spike in Delta. They did not have a huge spike in deaths. They had a somewhat spike in hospitalizations. Now, I don't know if that's because of the good treatments that we have. I don't know. But okay. I can tell you right now, Fauci can't tell me why Delta went down. And you know why? Because he's not even saying that Delta cases went down spontaneously in India and the UK. So I just can't believe that they're even talking about remasking and about shutting down schools again.
That's a good
I don't understand. If somebody out there,
yeah.
I'm not the be-all and end-all. I read, I interpret. I am a scientist. I have published in major journals. I am not claiming that I'm a virologist. But if there is somebody out there, I mean, you know, What's that guy's name in UNC? Begins with a B. Basic, or he's the Barrack.
Barrack.
He's the guy who worked.
He would be an expert to talk to about something like this.
If you're listening in Chapel Hill, Dr. Barrack, call me because I want to know.
Anybody with some connection to the Wuhan lab, call us right now if you've got something.
He's what, 20 miles away?
Right. Shorty is on the line. She has more insight in this than most people because Shorty had it. Oddly enough, ironically, Shorty had the long COVID. How you doing, Shorty?
Better today.
Good. Good to hear
great.
From you. What's going on?
Still a little bit tired.
Yeah.
I've got 2 more weeks of radiation.
Oh, yes.
August 13th is my last day.
Wow. Good for you.
If people don't remember, Shorty is one of my long-term patients. You know, she's not that short. She's over 5 feet tall.
But oh,
they call her Shorty.
They just call her Shorty. Okay.
That's good. But Shorty has been through a lot in the last few years. I mean, she got a pacemaker. She's had, you know, atrial fibrillation. And then she got breast cancer. We cured that.
Yeah.
And then she had this swelling in her neck that I, you know, shoot, got a CT scan. And it was a cancer that was growing out of her lung. She's had the best care, but more than anything else, you know what you got, Shorty? You got the best attitude. You've got God on your side, and way down there in the realm of importance, you've got Dr. Weifeld on your side. And then right there, you got David Alexander on your side. So nothing can stop you now, Shorty.
I was going to ask you something.
Yeah.
You were talking about the shot.
Yeah.
I don't have to have that, do I?
All right. That's a good question. And the answer is, I don't know. I'm not sure. It's recommended. But when you look at the United States of America, they don't count are the people who've had COVID.
Right.
And so there is a level of protection that any infection gives you against getting infected again.
Right.
And they always talk about the people who, you know, are the boomerangs. They get infected and they get it again.
Yeah.
Right.
The reason why you hear about them, why is that? Because it's pretty rare.
Yeah.
It's like a plane crash. You hear about a plane crash, I mean, it's horrible and everybody's afraid to go back up an airplane, but it's extremely rare. In fact, the safest mode of travel in terms of death per miles traveled is flying in a commercial aircraft. It's safer than walking down the street. So they say get it. I don't think there's a lot of evidence that it's necessary. If you ask me if I had had COVID, would I get it? Yeah, I would, because I want that extra level of protection.
You remember you told me that but my last visit to Clayton, that you would let me know when it was time.
Yeah, I mean, there's been no double blind randomized trial.
I've got enough without adding something else to it, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, I am using my walker.
Good for you.
And I have since I had my little tumble, and of course that was first of.
Right.
So I'm pedaling along.
Shorty, it's good to hear that you're good. Okay?
Keep up.
Last week, were y'all gone?
No, we weren't. We weren't, actually. Dr. Weifeld and I took the Saturday off.
Yeah, we had a Saturday that we spent with family.
Oddly enough, I spent my time with Dr. Weifeld's family, and he spent his time with my grandchildren. It was kind of a... It was like a foreign exchange program for radio people.
We did a trade.
Children.
All right, Shorty, you take care of yourself.
Love you.
Love you.
Bye-bye. All right, telephone number 919-860-9783. We want to talk about COVID. You want to talk about your individual cases of any sort of disease. If you've ever had that moment when you... walked out of the doctor's office and you said, oh, I wish I had asked. I wish I had asked that thing. I just want some general information
it's called,
from a doctor.
It's also the by the way question.
By the way.
Yeah, as you're walking out and you really didn't want to tell them that you have a horrible chest pain and sweatiness, and you go, oh, by the way, before you leave the door, I think I'm having a heart attack.
All right. So if you want to ask a question like that, hopefully you're not having a heart attack, but Dr. Wefald might be able to tell you what you need to do if you're having a heart attack. I'd say dial 911 first, but here's the other number, 919-860-9783, Heart Health Radio. Heart Health Radio on the Heart Health Radio Network, and we are shaming a Fox contributor, Jesse Waters, because he got on and said something that was what? Just factually wrong?
It was just false.
It was just false.
The biggest thing I hate about the COVID saga, it's going on 18, 19 months.
Yeah.
Is that it's politicized. The virus is not Republican, it's not Democrat. I think Delta's independent.
Delta's independent? Okay.
But Jesse's, I agree with a lot of what he says. I disagree with a lot of what he says. He's a very, intelligent man. He's a really, really good TV commentator.
Uh-huh.
But I think what's happening, especially at Fox, which is disturbing me, is that they've all gotten vaccinated. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Fox News required everybody who worked there to get vaccinated or you couldn't go on the air.
I'm sure.
And, of course, they're not saying anything about it. But Jesse gets on and says...
Well, this is what he says.
Yeah.
All of the hot spots are in huge Democrat cities. New York City, Atlanta, Los Angeles. Not a lot of Trump voters in those cities. So we have to do away with all the politics and just try to get people vaxxed. And at a certain point, you just have to stop.
You
can't push people that hard.
Okay. Is that factually true?
That's just totally wrong.
Okay. All right.
It's not New York City. New York City is not a hot spot. Chicago is not a hot spot. The hot spots are where? They are in the South. They are in the unvaccinated regions of the country, and they're in Florida. Florida's had a sudden surge in Delta. They were doing very well for a while. But it's sad because I think they're going for ratings. And what does that mean? There are a lot of anti-vaxxers in the far right, and I feel bad about that because... There's no reason to be. There's no political connection that should be made to a vaccine. I mean, if you believe in the United States of America and you wave the flag and, you support the military and you're for smaller government, that doesn't mean you have to be against vaccines and you have to be against especially the COVID-19 vaccine. But they are. I think going for ratings, they're going to try to get some of those far right wingers to tune in, and it's sad. But what Jesse Waters said is just wrong.
Okay,
that is not happening.
You also mentioned that Freestyle Libre put out a TV commercial.
Yeah, I really like this device.
I use them.
Yeah, I really like the device. It's great. You can check your sugar and do all this other stuff. I can't believe you haven't seen a commercial.
No,
but there's this big. I can't use the F word, but he's heavy set, okay?
We prefer full-bodied.
Yeah, full-bodied, curvy.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. And he's sitting there in a restaurant
with
a banana split in front of him.
No!
And he's got a Coca-Cola over here. And he's got this. And they actually say, with Freestyle Libre, you can enjoy the foods you love.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what is that saying? You check your sugar. And you give yourself an extra dose of insulin so you can eat the banana split.
Yeah.
Drove me insane.
Now, the truth is, with the Freestyle Libre, you actually can, to a certain extent, you can manage your sugar more effectively because you know accurately, without pricking your finger, you know accurately what your sugar is.
Okay. Now, here's the problem. Okay. if this whole goal of getting your A1C to a certain point, what's the A1C? That is the hemoglobin, which carries your oxygen, is affected by the level of sugar in your bloodstream that attaches the sugar to it.
Uh-huh.
So the hemoglobin A1C is your blood-carrying protein attached with the sugar.
Yeah.
And the more of that you have, the worse control over your diabetes you have. But when you take all that extra insulin and you eat all that extra sugar,
yeah,
sure, your sugar's going down.
Yeah.
But your waist is expanding. And you're really not doing yourself a favor. I mean, okay, let me give you an example, okay? Suppose you have your house,
yeah,
and you have really dangerous habits about fire.
Okay. Okay.
And so suppose you say, well, we're going to put up 10 more smoke detectors.
Right.
And then when you catch fire, you'll be able to run your hose to it.
If, say, this is a hypothetical, if, say, a fella had a wife and his wife liked votive candles.
Right.
Okay? And she liked smelly candles in every room. There's the vanilla room. There's the cinnamon room.
Yeah.
If she puts up more smoke detectors, she could be more protected.
Yeah, but then, you know, the whole point I'm trying to make is that the reason why we have fire trucks and fire departments is not because we want to be able to run out every night put out fires from careless people. No, the best way to prevent your house from burning down is to be careful with your fire.
Okay.
And so what bothers me about this commercial is it gives people with diabetes the concept that if you get this thing, this Freestyle Libre monitor, and stick it in your arm, go get a banana split and enjoy your life. Now, it's just crazy. It's just insane because the more insulin you take, the worse off your body is. You want to not have to do that. So, yes, get the Freestyle Libre, but don't change your diet except to reduce white flour, sugar, white potatoes, and white rice, and control it better. But don't listen. That commercial, I was about to scream at the TV. You ever like taken a shoe and thrown at the TV?
Yeah.
Well, I just bought this TV, so I didn't do it.
Okay, but here's the point. From somebody who does manage his blood sugar and does manage
it. Does
it
give
it
you a false
insulin,
sense of security?
It does. It gives me a sense of security, not because I'm going to go eat a banana split, because when I eat a sandwich and with two slices of bread, I know precisely how it affects my sugar.
Okay, so
and then
that's
I can
good.
Bring it back down.
Okay.
I'm not gonna have we're gonna talk to Diana in just a moment. We're also gonna talk to Rose Hoban from NorthCarolinaHealthNews.org right here on Heart Health Radio on the Heart Health Radio Network.
Welcome to Heart Health with board certified cardiologist and internal medicine specialist, Dr. Franklin Weefald. Call us with your health questions at 919-860-9783.
Get better, stay healthy, and spot medical misinformation by listening to Heart Health Radio. Here is Diana in Durham. Hi, Diana. I'm so sorry I left you on hold. How are you?
Okay, I'm okay.
Good. What's up?
Well, I've been listening to you guys forever because I'm usually running errands. Back then, you only had an hour. But I never had the nerve to call. But
I'm glad you
anyway,
did.
Anyway, I wanted to ask Dr. Weefald. I found out, I guess 2 years ago, that I have aortic valve regurgitation. I found out quite by accident. I'm pretty active. 56. Before COVID, I would go to the gym.
Okay, Diana, as the non-medical fella here, I want you to repeat the thing that you were diagnosed with.
Okay, aortic valve regurgitation.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I have been accused of talking to you.
Sure.
It's okay.
Anyway, I was walked like in Durham, the Duke Trails that I've been doing for 40 years, and my friends would be like, you know, you're really having trouble with these pills. And I was like, I just need to lose weight. That's my problem. And I do, before COVID, I would do like a muscle pump class, and I wasn't the best one. I would have to modify. But my friends really started getting concerned because I would have to stop so much. So I asked my doctor, I think in 2019, and he's been my doctor forever, like 35 years. I'm very blessed to have the same primary care physician. He said, well, you know, you're not 25 anymore. So he sent me for a stress test. And they said I had severe aortic valve regurgitation.
Severe.
And so he said that for every, like, 3 ounces that go from, I guess, the right to the left or whichever direction,
wow,
I have 2 ounces that slide back.
Wow.
And but he said I have a very strong heart. But that the only fix for it is, you know, a valve replacement.
Right.
And I'm not, like, jumping up and down wanting my chest cut open.
Yeah.
But I have had friends say you should have this done while you're younger because you'll recover better. And then I've had people say wait until you know you need it.
Well, that...
So I was just wondering what your thoughts.
Well, that's a great question because it's really not answered by medicine yet. Okay, what is aortic regurgitation? So the valve that controls the flow of blood out of the heart is called the aortic valve. So just imagine the pump in the left ventricle, and it's got the blood in it, and it squeezes. Well, that aortic valve opens up and lets the blood flow out, and when the heart pauses, it closes, and it closes because the blood flows back on it, and it captures these little cusps and makes it shut. So what's happened to you is that when the heart pumps, the valve opens up, the blood flows out to the body, but then when the heart pauses, the valve doesn't close all the way, and blood flows backwards down back into the heart. Now, that's not such a bad thing as long as your heart stays strong. But what happens? Over time, the worse that blood flowing backwards across the valve gets, the bigger your heart gets. It starts to expand and get bigger so it can handle the extra blood flow. And when it does that over time, it gets weaker. And so the biggest question has always become, when do we put the new valve in? Mm-hmm. And some, when I was a youngster, way back when at Johns Hopkins, they would always say you don't replace the valve until the person's sick, until the first person feels bad. What does that mean? Shortness of breath, can't lay flat, swelling in your legs. And, you know, you're pretty sick when you get there. Now, what was the reason? Because surgery had a pretty high risk back then. I mean, you know, valve surgery was 5 to 10% of a major complication, infection, mm-hmm, you know, bleeding, death. Nowadays, the risk of surgery like that, and you sound really healthy. I mean, you sound great. But the risk of surgery is very low, 1%, maybe 2%. And so the times have changed, and what we're saying now is that maybe, just maybe, when the valve starts to leak a lot, even if you feel good, you might want to get it fixed. Now, they also used to say that the valves would last only 10 years.
Right.
Yes, I've heard that too, and I'm only 57.
That's so not, that ain't true. I'm going to tell you that right now. I've got a lady with one valve, 47 years old. No, I'm sorry. The valve is 47
the
years
valve
old.
The valve is 47.
47 years old. I've got most of my people with mechanical valves, and I've been practicing 30 years, have never had to have them replaced, okay? They go in good, and they stay in good. Now, there are two types of valves. This is a mechanical valve, the St. Jude valve. It's named after the hospital. I hate that because it's always the patron saint of lost causes. St. Jude valve is not a lost cause, okay? It's just not.
Yeah,
and then they have these valves that are made out of animal tissue, okay? Bovine pericardial prosthesis.
Right.
What does that mean? It means it's made out of this really heavy wire, and they treat the lining of the heart called the pericardium of a cow, and then they drape it over, and they do their magic, and it lasts for years. I'm not your doctor, and I've said this before time and time again. When was the last time you had an ultrasound, an echocardiogram?
I think January. He's got me doing it every 6 months.
6 months. Yeah, and he said, was it 3+ out of 4 or 4+? What kind of a number did they give you?
I don't remember.
Okay, but he said he used the word severe.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
you feel great, obviously.
I feel great unless I'm walking up hills or...
Oh, okay. I love this. Yeah. Most of my patients come in and I say, how you doing? Great! Doing and great. I say, and I always do this, how much physical activity do you get? Oh, not much. And I say, why? Well, when I walk up the hill, I get real short of breath. Okay, you are symptomatic. Okay, no matter what anybody
to tone it down. Yeah. I try to stay active. I've been doing outdoor muscle pumps since COVID.
Yeah.
I modify everything I do. Everybody else can, you know, swing.
Yeah.
Now, Diana is telling us that she knows she should tone it down. Should she?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Let me tell you, when you lift something heavy, you know, you get that. Why is that? Because your glottis is closed.
Yeah.
And the pressure is building up in your thorax, your chest.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which means the pressure is building up in your aorta, which is the pipe that carries the blood out.
Yeah.
So what is that happening? What is that doing? It's pushing more blood back across that leaky valve. Okay. You should not be lifting a lot of weights.
No, I do